This is Laura Locke, editor of Colby Times. I recently had a great chat with singer-songwriter Alana Lewandowski about her new CD, Sanctuary, Exploring the Healing Path. It features spoken words by James Finlay and the lovely voices of the Edmonton Children's Choir.
First, let's talk about your latest album, Sanctuary, Exploring the Healing Path. I know it was made in collaboration with James Finlay, who's a favorite author of mine and contemplative teacher and psychologist. Maybe you could tell us about the album and a bit about how this project came about.
Well, Jim is one of my teachers. He was one of my teachers. He continues to be, but I've now graduated from the Living School at the Center of Action and Contemplation. So he was one of the core faculty. And I saw him in Kelowna in 2015. And I ended up doing a couple of chants before, just leading people in song before he started a teaching. One of them was something I'd put his words to. I put up some music to his words. It just dawned on me to ask him. I just said, do you want to make an album together? And it, one thing led to another, and I knew it was going to be using his teaching on healing trauma. We made a project that walks a person through the journey of healing. And it's chant and spoken word, but I would say it maybe contemporary chant. It's not Gregorian or anything, but it does the Taizé style repetition, which helps people to, rather than latch rationally onto the line, it goes into the visceral places. I think it was a really effective modality for what we were doing.
We're all waiting. We're all waiting. We're all waiting to be met. We're all waiting. We're all waiting. We're all waiting.
And I know you also recently went on this six-week CD release tour across the United States and took your husband and your baby and your young son along in your van and your little homemade teardrop trailer. Quite a journey, yeah. I'm sure. And in fact, I know you have called it a family pilgrimage in some of your writing. I'm sure it was a chance to see God at work in your lives. And I'd love to hear a little bit about some of the trip, some of the ups and downs, or any sacred
well,
insights that came along with the experience.
Firstly, I will say that my husband and I, we recommend to all married people or all couples that they want to shake the cobwebs out of their relationship, just go on a tour with a baby and a 2.5-year-old. So that being said, it's funny, but we both actually looked at it as a crucible. What can be burnt away that doesn't need to be there? And how do we operate when things are not optimal? I failed miserably sometimes out there, but I also forgave myself. One of the things that this tour meant to me was because I'd been in the business, the music business, for a long time, and I had done so many tours, this one was different because I saw it in light of not having so much to prove, not having anything to prove. I've been reading this book called The Heroine's Journey, and it's all about women who found themselves in professional careers and things like that, and how that's a good thing, an incredibly important thing. I will emphasize that at this time. But in the same way that men found that they had the ladder up against the wrong wall when they were climbing, women did too. And so I had a lot to prove when I was out there before, and in this time it was different. And I wanted to kind of put put some new grooves into my brain matter around what it can be like to tour. So it wasn't perfect at all, but it certainly was sacred the entire time because, as Jim Finley says, the poverty of the practice is the richness of the practice. I use that a lot for me because if I was setting out to do a tour that was different than before, and if I was setting out to do a tour that was a crucible, a family pilgrimage, and setting out to be committed to it being sacred, within that, the failings that are perceived failings of it not being seen as sacred, or the perceived failings of not being able to handle the heat of it in the moments out there, I was able to have that line. And again, then it becomes something that you aren't doing, which is always what makes something sacred.
I know you mentioned, too, about having to push the reset button a few times.
Yeah. And forgive each other, because when you're in a situation that's not the comfort zone, you are put in a position to change patterns. You are put into a position to fall into deep patterns. Again, it's that pushing reset is the poverty of the practice is the richness of the practice. Mm-hmm. When you're pushing reset, you're saying, right, I'm not perfect. God is in this anyway. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Yeah. I wanted to hear, too, about some of your performances, like some of the venues or house concerts. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I got to do some really, really great work down there. I got to perform at the graduation ceremony for the cohort that was ahead of me at the Living School, Richard Rohr's Living School. Someone wrote to me, a lot of people wrote to me. It was a very beautiful experience, and James Finley came up at the end and we performed some samplings of the new album, and I actually performed the Behold, I Make All Things New album in concert. And someone wrote to me and said, you looked like you were playing a home game. And that's definitely what it felt like. And then we were down in San Antonio, and I got to do an hour-long conversation the day before I performed a concert at the Oblate School of Theology, the conversation with Ron Rollheiser on spirituality and music. It was absolutely wonderful. I felt so honored and in my element all at the same time. And yeah, it's just a wonderful space there, very welcoming, lovely people. We went from there to an Episcopal church in Phoenix, and the people everywhere, people were amazing. People that hosted house concerts went above and beyond. One of the house concerts, we were in Napa Valley doing a house concert at a vineyard. One was in Berkeley overlooking the San Francisco Bay, and you could see the Golden Gate Bridge, and it was a huge deck that held over 60 people for this house concert. In Washington State, we connected with a house church, absolutely incredible community. One of the fellows I met there is a lawyer who's Native American. He had basically helped write some of the most important legislation for the First Nations people in America. And he was in his 70s, and I got to chat with him for a couple of hours. The night after I performed my house concert, they hosted a feast. Their whole community came together, and it was really lovely. And they sang us off with, may he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. That's an Iona sending prayer.
Yes, I've heard and it they, before. That's beautiful.
And they sang it to us just before we were getting back into our van. And just everywhere we went, there was just really beautiful people who, they want to digest stuff that's going to keep their feet on the ground, come what may. Through it all, witnessing different cultures as you go was interesting. Something that really hit me hard was when we were on our way to San Antonio, we went down to El Paso, and looking across the Rio Grande into Mexico and the poverty that you just witnessed right across the river, And crossing the border east and west, about an hour out of El Paso, your passports are checked. And it was a real wake-up call for me about white privilege, because they barely batted an eye when they saw us and just basically flagged us on. And that really hit me.
If you know what you're wrong, and beautiful heart is made of, you can go into the hurting places. You can go, you can go. If you know what you're wrong, and beautiful heart is made of.
So tell us a little about the structure of the album.
Well, Sanctuary is inspired by something found in the Christian mystical tradition, and it's the purgative way, the illuminative way, and the unitive way. It's talking about the spiritual path. Belden Lane likens it to desert, mountain, and cloud. In this case, what we did was we paralleled it with the healing path, because to me, I can't separate the two. Sanctuary was made for people who, yes, have suffered trauma, but it was made for everyone, because if we're really honest, we've got some suffering that we mm-hmm. could acknowledge and heal and transform. So in purgative, illuminative, unitive way, there's a point in each section where the inner child shows up in the form of a children's choir. And the inner child is that child you still carry within you. It's used within terminology and therapy and all of this. So the inner child shows up in the purgative way when the adult in you shows up to say the thing that she needed to hear. And so you pay a little visit to her. And in therapy, often you might write her a letter first. You might sit down beside her and ask if you can talk to her or introduce yourself or whatever. Mm-hmm. In this case, the adult says, "I'm sorry you had to see that." But the children sing, "Please don't hurt me anymore. Please don't leave me anymore." And so it's just this moment of acknowledging some form of betrayal. And it might not have been your parents. It could have been just somebody in your life, or it could be that moment when you saw the world in a different way and you started to see that people can get hurt and all of that.
See something precious in you that you are not yet able to see. Where we are right now is you discovering with God's grace the adult in you that can join me in seeing that preciousness in you. Because the child inside right now is waiting for you to see her.
That's in the purgative section. In the illuminative section, the inner child shows up again. The adult has had some breakthroughs in their journey already, but they fall back on the old pattern and they start saying, "I cannot abide you." And it's that moment in your day when you do something you're ashamed of. You couldn't figure something out with a computer. You couldn't, or you forgot to turn the element off, or it could be something as simple as that. And it could be something far more complex, but it's that moment when you're ashamed of yourself and you say, "I can't abide you." And then the children choir sings, "I believe you." And then James Finley shows up in his spoken word and he says, there is a punitive voice in us that goes on the attack. And there's a very vulnerable childlike part of us that believes every word. And so things start to shift. And he says, but what is it to realize that you are unbearably beautiful in the intimacy of the broken places? And you breathe that in and you walk with it. You join God in being one with the endlessly precious nature of yourself. You can be one with the world in that way. And then the adult sings to the child, you are precious in your fragility. And the child sings, I believe you. And so that's kind of a culminating moment in the album where there's a real shift. There's been tons of work laid out already, but this is a big, big, big shift.
Are precious in your fragility. You are precious in your fragility. You are precious in your fragility. You are precious.
And then moving into the unitive space where people might think that fireworks are going to go off and it's all wrapped up in a nice bow, but really you end up in a place of holding the paradox. And the last song, In Your Most Childlike Hour, Your Heart Did Not Deceive You, is where you make the decision whether you're going to let cynicism rule your house or you don't break faith with your awakened heart, that early stage in your life where that vulnerable, trusting faith that every child has is the truth. And so that's where it ends up, and that's where it leaves off. And the children have the last word, and I really wanted them to.
Your heart did not deceive you in your most childlike hour. Your heart did not deceive you in your most childlike hour. Your heart did not deceive you. In your most childlike hour, your heart did not deceive you. In your most childlike hour, your heart did not deceive you. In your most childlike hour, your heart.
Thanks to William Draper for putting this audio segment together, and to Alana Lewandowski for sharing her stories and her music.